Okay, welcome to our Sunday evening call, Building Zion call. The last couple of weeks, last several weeks, since the middle of August, we've been going over the various categories of quotes that I found going through talks by early apostles and prophets in the early Utah territorial years. I was just looking in my database, or it's not my database, but the database I used to access all these quotes. It's, I think it's a BYU database. Anyway, I was just typed in the word Zion and noticed, even though I found 500 quotes that talk about building or establishing Zion, the word Zion is actually used roughly 4,000 times in the years that I covered, so from the 1850s through the 1880s. It actually peaked in the 1870s and again was another peak in a little lower in the 1900s, and then it pretty much fades out to only 69 times in this decade has the word Zion been mentioned in conference talks and things. So I find that interesting. I'm not sure what it means, but clearly I think it means Zion was a central focus in the early Utah church. And my guess is, since the U.S. government essentially conquered the church in the late 1880s, forcing it to only be a religion, that the drive to build Zion became more of a spiritual effort than a temporal one, and so they didn't talk about it near as much. But anyway, today's topic, one of the 13, I believe it was, categories that all the quotes I found, 500 plus quotes I found, that talk about building or establishing Zion, there's 13 or so categories that they all fall into fairly neatly. And the category I wanted to talk about this evening and share some of the quotes was, I've labeled that building Zion was prophesied by, this isn't as a flashy topic as some of the other ones we've covered, but it's still, there's still some interesting tidbits, and I think you'll find the quotes of interest. Basically, I've divided them up. Let me see how many there are. So 49 quotes I've found where they talk about Zion being prophesied. And those 49 divide up into roughly 5 common subcategories. And I thought I'd read those to give you an idea of where we're headed tonight. The order I put them in is the first, prophets have foretold a latter-day Zion, kind of a generic approach to it. And then the second one is Zion is to be built before Christ returns. Now, I've talked to some people occasionally on Facebook who think that's the other way around, but it was their understanding that Christ would come and then we would build Zion. So there's apparently several quotes that I found that suggest that Zion has to be built first. Then the third subcategory, that is the point that the prophecies about Zion are to be fulfilled in our day, meaning in these latter days, this time period, starting with the restoration. And then the fourth subcategory, Isaiah prophesied Zion would be built in the mountains, which is kind of an interesting thing. I hadn't ever heard that before. And I think that's in a coming day, probably looks like 2 weeks from now, we'll talk about how the Utah saints were actively building Zion in Utah. And apparently that was a direct result of their belief that they were fulfilling the prophecies of Isaiah to build Zion in the mountains. And then the fifth subcategory, territorial Utah saints were working to fulfill the prophecies about a latter-day Zion, which is what I just said, basically. All right, so let's look at the first category, and I'll read a few quotes. I go through these and try to pick out the ones that are most representative of the point and are the least wordy. Some of these are really wordy. So I try to skip those or... Anyway, let me start with Wilford Woodruff, 1857. So this is the first subcategory, Prophets Foretold of a Latter-day Zion. The prophet Jeremiah saw this kingdom established and saw that Ephraim was the firstborn, and in gathering the children of Jacob and establishing Zion in the last days. I haven't taken the time to look in Jeremiah for his prophecy, but I assume Wilford Woodruff knows what he's talking about. Brigham Young, then, 3 years later in 1860, he essentially quotes Isaiah 52, "When the Lord shall bring again Zion, and the watchmen shall see eye to eye, and Zion shall be established, saviors will come up upon Mount Zion and save all the sons and daughters of Adam that are capable of being saved by administering for them." So he mentions that Zion would be established, and he's quoting Isaiah. Wilford Woodruff, 1865, John Taylor then in 67, then Brigham again in 67. We actually have that, this one's different. In fact, this is the only one in this subcategory that mentions Joseph Smith and as being the prophet that foretold Zion. The only one I found. I haven't looked for others, but I ran across this one. So this is Brigham Young in 1867. We actually have that sure word of prophecy delivered to us through the prophet Joseph Smith that in the last days the Lord would gather Israel, build up Zion, and establish his kingdom upon the earth. You'll remember, if you've heard the last couple of calls, we've talked about the idea that the restoration included three major pillars or three foundations of God's society that he wants for us. And this quote mentions all three. Church, kingdom, and Zion. Anyway, so let's see. Wilford Woodruff, a year later in 1868. And Wilford, in fact, Wilford Woodruff is the most commonly speaking apostle. Well, I haven't actually counted up, so it's either him or Orson Pratt. They both talk quite a bit about prophecies about Zion. But this is the first long one by him. 1868, why have we gathered to Zion? To fulfill the revelations of God. Isaiah and Jeremiah and nearly all the prophets since the world began have foretold the gathering of the people in the last days to establish Zion, from which the law of the Lord would go forth to rule the nations of the earth. We are here to do these things and to receive the teachings and instructions that we may be prepared for the coming of the Son of Man. So Wilford Woodruff was saying not only Isaiah and Jeremiah, but nearly all the other prophets have foreseen our day and the building of Zion. Then the next year, Wilford Woodruff, December of 1869, he has set his hand to establish Zion, the great Zion of God, about which the prophets have said so much. No prophet has spoken more pointedly on this subject than Isaiah. Our drivings from Missouri, our persecutions, our travels along the Platte River, the manner of our coming to the mountains of Israel, our return again to the land of Zion and the building of the temple in Jackson County have all been spoken of by Isaiah, as well as by all the prophets who have spoken concerning Zion in the last days. That's pretty comprehensive. Wilford Woodruff again, 3 years later. In fact, this subcategory is the largest that I found. in reference to prophecies in Zion. There's quite a few quotes in this section. In fact, let me count them real quick. 21, spanning from 1856 to 1884. All right, let's see. Where was I? Wilford Woodruff, 1872. Any man who has read the book of Isaiah, which we frequently have quoted to us, can see that he, with other prophets, had his eye upon the latter-day Zion of God. Wilford Woodruff, that following General Conference in October, Adam, our first great progenitor and father after the fall, received this gospel, and he received the Holy Priesthood in all its power and its keys and ordinances. He sealed these blessings upon his sons, Seth, Enos, Jared, Canaan, Mahalalel, Enoch, and Methuselah. All these men received this high and holy priesthood. They all professed to give revelation. They all had inspiration and left their record on the earth. And not one of them, but what saw and prophesied about the great Zion of God in the latter days. And when we say this of them, we say it of every apostle and prophet who has ever lived upon the earth. Their revelations and prophecies all point to our day and that great kingdom of God which was spoken of by Daniel, that great Zion of God spoken of by Isaiah and Jeremiah, and that great gathering of the house of Israel spoken of by Ezekiel and Malachi and many of the ancient patriarchs and prophets. Wow, I don't think he left anyone out. So apparently it was common knowledge among the early apostles and prophets and saints, apparently, if they attended conference, that Zion was prophesied to be built in our time by everybody, every prophet who saw the last days. Okay, let's see. Just keep going. Wilford Woodruff, 1874, so the following year. No man or woman on the face of the earth will ever be disappointed with regard to the fulfillment of the word of the Lord. For he has uttered decrees, made covenants, and through his servants, the prophets, has declared his word and will concerning the world and its inhabitants. And not one of his sayings will fail. All must be fulfilled. If it could be otherwise, the Zion of God would never be built up. But God has decreed that his kingdom will be established, that Zion will arise and shine, and that every weapon formed against her will be broken. 4 years later, man, these are all Wilford. The last one is John Taylor. So one more Wilford and then John Taylor. So this is April General Conference, 1878. Zion will be built up. Zion will be redeemed. And she will arise and shine and put on her beautiful garments. She will break off her neck, her yoke, which means she'd have to have a yoke. And she will be clothed with the glory of our God. Zion has been sold for naught. She will be redeemed without money. She will arise in her beauty and glory. As the prophets of God have seen her, she will extend her borders and strengthen her stakes, and the God of heaven will comfort her, inasmuch as we will unite together to carry out his purposes. He's leaving no doubt there that Zion will be redeemed from bondage and brought forth. Okay, last quote in the subcategory, John Taylor, 1884. And just to make a point, I stopped searching in the 1880s. I figured after that they probably weren't talking as much about building Zion because they had been stymied in their efforts to do it. Anyway, 1884. Now, how is it pertaining to the last days? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. In what respect? in the days of Noah, did they have the gospel preached unto them? Yes. Did the people generally reject it? Yes. Did the people gather together and build up a Zion? Yes. Okay, so that's the subcategory, prophets foretold of a latter-day Zion. The next one is the point I mentioned, that Zion is to be built before Christ returns. These are going to be quicker to read. This is 1857, Brigham Young. It now remains with us to bear off this kingdom, build up Zion, and establish the law thereof until Christ shall reign King of Nations. Wilford Woodruff, 1871. He's talking about somebody named Mr. Miller. Now, if Mr. Miller had been acquainted with the prophecies contained in the Bible and with the spirit by which the scriptures were written, he would have known very clearly that Christ would not come until certain events had taken place. He would have been aware that the Messiah would not make his appearance until an angel of God had delivered the everlasting gospel from the heavens to be preached to the nations of the earth, until the honest and meek of the earth are gathered out from every sect, party, and denomination under the whole heavens, and third, until the Zion of God had come up into the mountains of Israel, and there, until the Zion of God had come up into the mountains of Israel, and there established Zion, and lifted up a standard to the people. So he's mentioning three things that have to happen before Christ comes. The gospel had to be delivered to the earth and preached. The converts gathered. And Zion built up. Okay, I have a comment from Barry, one of our listeners. He's on the Facebook page for this event. He's written, "In my mind, the second coming consists of four types of appearances. First, the Savior appears to those who seek his face and receive him personally." So an individual appearance. "Second, the Savior comes to dwell with his people in Zion." And that tells me we have to have a Zion before he can come to it. "Third, at the Mount of Olives to save the Jews and convert them to the truth that he is their Savior." And fourth, the appearance, the grand appearance to the world. I added the word grand. Definitely. In fact, some would argue, I know John Pontius, who wrote the book, what was the name of his book about Zion? I struggled with a lot of the things he said, but one of his points is that he believes the first appearance has to happen to us. In other words, the Savior needs to appear to us personally before we qualify to live in Zion. I really struggle with that because, having read all of these quotes from back in the 1800s and seeing that they saw themselves as actively fulfilling the prophecies of building Zion in the mountains of Israel, it doesn't make sense that they would do that if only people who had seen Christ personally could participate in the Zion Society. They were dragging the saints along, kicking and screaming, trying to get them to build Zion. Anyway, so, let's see. That was Wilford Woodruff. We're in the subcategory, Zion is to be built before Christ comes. Orson Pratt, 1873. "We find in the 40th chapter of the prophecies of Isaiah that the people of Zion are to be raised up preparatory to the second advent of the Son of God." And then he goes on to explain that. I, this evening, went and read Isaiah 40 and went through and highlighted different things to try to figure out if it really does say what he's saying it says. And you could definitely interpret it that way. He was an apostle and I wasn't, so he's probably right. Let's see. Oh, and Barry makes the comment that Zion will consist of non-members of the church as well as members. I think that specifically has been said about the kingdom of God, which is the political version. or the political arm of God's society. Barry, you might let me know if you've found somewhere where it says actually Zion will have non-members. I assume it will, but I don't know that. I don't know how they could be part of the political kingdom if they're not part of the economic kingdom, which Zion apparently is. All right, so let's see. Where are we? Orson Pratt again. A couple of years later in 1875. The Great Shepherd, well, he's talking about the Great Shepherd, and he says, will stir up his strength and will save the house of Joseph, but it will be in his own time and way. First, a remnant will be converted. Second, Zion will be redeemed. And all among the Gentiles who believe will assist this remnant of Jacob in building the New Jerusalem. Oh, I wasn't going to read this one. I may as well finish it. Third, a vast number of missionaries will be sent throughout the length and breadth of this great continent to gather all the dispersed of his people in unto the New Jerusalem. Fourth, the power of heaven will be made manifest in the midst of the people, and the Lord will be in their midst. This is what we must look for. Not asking God to establish this people upon their inheritances in Jackson County until the other things are fulfilled in their order and in their times and their seasons. And the reason I had this quote and originally thought to share it was that he's saying these four things have to happen before Christ, or these three things will have to happen before Christ will come. And they're not going to go in any other order than what he shared. And, of course, he had Zion being built before Christ would return. Wilford Woodruff, 1876. Somebody or other has got to build up Zion. But before Christ comes, a people have got to be prepared by being sanctified before the Lord. Temples have got to be built. Zion has got to be built up. There must be a place of safety for the people of God while his judgments are abroad in the earth. So he was pretty adamant, very adamant, that we have to build up Zion. 6 years later, 1882, Wilford Woodruff. By this time, I don't remember when Wilford becomes the prophet, but by this time, John Taylor has already been prophet. I don't remember when he passed away. Anyway, Wilford Woodruff, 1882, we live, in fact, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, the last dispensation in which the Lord will reveal his mind and will to the inhabitants of the earth, the last time in which the Lord will prune his vineyard, the last time in which he will set up his kingdom upon the earth, establish his church, and build up his Zion. Wait, that's kingdom, church, and Zion. I interrupted myself. And build up his Zion to do what? To prepare for the coming of the Son of Man. It doesn't make sense that building up Zion would come after if it's part of preparing. Okay, so Wilford Woodruff, last quote in the subcategory, 1889. The kingdom of God is here, and the Lord will sustain it. But I can bear record, as my brethren have, that this kingdom will stand, and that the Zion of God will remain upon the earth until Jesus shall come to receive us unto himself. So I think it's pretty clear from all these quotes that we, the church, the saints, have got to build up Zion before Christ can return. Let's see. All right, in the next subcategory, prophecies about Zion are to be fulfilled in our day. And there's, I got three I was going to share in this category, three out of six. This is Brigham Young in 1860. This is the time the Lord has fixed for building up his Zion. So this is the time the Lord has fixed for building up his Zion. That this is the time spoken of by the prophets in which the saints are commanded to gather out from the wicked. That was 1860. Wilford Woodruff, 12 years later, 1872. It has certainly been very interesting to the Latter-day Saints to watch the history and progress of this church and kingdom during the last 42 years. This is one of the most important generations that man or God or angels have ever seen on the earth. It is a dispensation and generation when the whole flood of prophecy and revelation and vision given through inspired man for the last 6,000 years is to have its fulfillment, and especially in relation to the establishment of the great kingdom in Zion of God on the earth. Orson Pratt, the following year. God will shield us by his power. If we are led forth out of bondage as our fathers were led at the first, this indicates that there may be bondage ahead and that the Latter-day Saints may see severe times, and that unless we keep the commandments of God, we may be brought into circumstances that will cause our hearts to tremble within us. That is, those who are not upright before God. But if this people should be brought into bondage, as the Israelites were in ancient days, Zion must be led forth out of bondage, as Israel was at the first. In order to do this, God has prophesied that he will raise up a man like unto Moses, who shall lead his people therefrom. I tried briefly to find the... I know this is based on a scripture somewhere. Maybe somebody knows where that is, where it talks about or it alludes to Zion being brought forth out of bondage in the last days. I'm sure I've seen it, but I can't recall where it is. So that was the subcategory prophecies about Zion are to be fulfilled in our day. This next one, we kind of mentioned it before, but specifically that Isaiah prophesied that Zion would be built in the mountains, which is really fascinating because a lot of times when I talk with other Latter-day Saints on Facebook about Zion, many of them, in their minds, Zion is the New Jerusalem. And so when I talk about building Zion, they think I'm some kind of a nutjob who wants to try to go back to Missouri now and build the New Jerusalem. It's like, no. God's in charge of that one. But my thought is, here Isaiah is saying it's to be built in the mountains of Israel. Now, you know, you could argue about what you personally believe the mountains of Israel are, but here are four quotes I found, spanning from 1873 to 1884, where Orson Pratt and Wilford Woodruff, both apostles, are saying that the mountains, the Rocky Mountains, are the mountains that Isaiah saw where Zion would be built. And one of the things I argue after having read all these quotes, especially in a couple of weeks, we'll cover that, the Latter-day Saints were actively, intentionally building a brick and mortar here and now Zion Society in Utah in the 1850s through the 1880s. That was the whole point of, and they make that very clear, that that's what they were about. And so you could say, well, okay, Isaiah's prophecies have been fulfilled already. They were building Zion in the mountains. But whether or not that will be completed, whether or not they'll actually be a full-fledged Zion Society built here in the mountains of Israel without the prophets having to drag us kicking and screaming to do it, that's to be seen, I guess. So here's Orson Pratt, 1873. We find in the 40th chapter of the prophecies of Isaiah that Isaiah uses an exclamation something like this: O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. It seems by this that the people called Zion, wherever they might be, were to be removed from the regions they originally inhabited, and were to be located in a high mountain, or in a very elevated region. If you wish to know the time which this prophetic exhortation to the people of Zion had reference to, read the whole of the 40th chapter of Isaiah, and you will find that at that period the glory of God is to be revealed, and all flesh is to see it together, evidently referring to the great day when the Son of God shall come in his glory. So basically he's saying, Isaiah tells Zion to go up into the high mountain, and in that same chapter it refers to the second coming. So he sees that as our day. Then there's another long quote in 2 years later, 1875, by Orson Pratt, which pretty much says the same thing, so I'll skip that one. Wilford Woodruff then has the next two, first one in 1878, and then the next one 6 years later in 1884. 78, he said, God has set his hand a second time to build up that kingdom which Daniel was permitted to see in vision, and to establish that Zion in the mountains which Isaiah saw. Then in 1884, was that prophet inspired by the Spirit and power of God? I say in the name of Israel's God, he was. And so was Isaiah when he spoke of the gathering of the people unto the mountains of Israel to establish the Zion of God. So at least Apostle Pratt and Wilford Woodruff both believed strongly that Isaiah was talking about our day, and that Zion was to be built in the mountains. Okay, last category. Territorial Utah saints were working to fulfill the prophecies about Zion. We got plenty of time, and these are short. I'll just read them all. They span from 1855 to 1884, which is what? 29 years? Yeah. So that this wasn't a passing craze. So this is Orson Hyde, 1855. If I feel at our approaching conference as I do now, I shall ask to move, to make a motion, he means, that our home missions be not diminished, but increased, if possible, and all set to raising wheat, and make Zion a house and city of refuge for the saints and for the sons of strangers, that they may come and build up our walls, even as the prophets have spoken. That one's not as clear. I wasn't originally going to read it because it wasn't that clear, but he's making a motion that home missions be increased in regard to raising wheat and making Zion a house and city of refuge for saints and strangers. So anyway, Wilford Woodruff, 15 years later, 1870, the Lord has put into our hands the power to build up this great Zion, which all the ancient prophets rejoiced in and prophesied about. So he's saying the Lord has given us the power to do it. Let's see, 2 years later, Apostle Daniel H. Wells, 1872, this is what has brought this people together in the valleys of the mountains, and they are laboring now to bring forth and establish the Zion of God upon this earth, according to the words of his holy prophets, whose prophecies have been and are being fulfilled in the history of this people. See, you can't misunderstand this. They're coming right out and saying it, that they were working to build, to fulfill these prophecies about Zion. Let's see. Well, this one was interesting. It kind of a different spin on the subject. This is Apostle Erastus Snow, 1877. One thing is certain, that if God accomplishes with the Latter-day Saints what the prophets have foretold, and establishes his Zion, and makes them a holy nation, a kingdom of priests, a peculiar people to himself, as he has promised, it will not be by our clinging to Babylon and to her foolish ways. He gives us a hint there on what we need to do. The next two are both Erastus Snow as well. 1882. The calling and mission of the Latter-day Saints are to fulfill what is here promised in these scriptures, to bring about the restoration of scattered Israel, the establishment of Zion, the preparing of people for the coming of Christ. So the fact that they're promised in the scriptures is why I put it in this category, that the saints were working to fulfill the prophecies. Then Erastus Snow in 1884. The work before us is a great one, and very much remaineth to be accomplished according to the prophecies. Israel is to be gathered, Jerusalem rebuilt, Zion established, the vineyard of the Lord pruned, and the corrupt branches cut off and cast into the fire, while the good branches shall be grafted in and partake of the root and the fatness of the tame olive tree. Well, I miss having Joyce and Andrea with me. They right now would have some wonderful things to say about the subject. And I find this fascinating, though, this entire adventure I've been on since I started looking for all of these quotes about building Zion. It's been extremely eye-opening and fascinating to discover the things that were taught spanning that 40-year time frame. And in fact, if this is the first time you've listened to one of our Zion conference calls, if you'll go to my blog, buildingzion.org, in the menu it says Sunday conference calls. If you click on that, you can see recordings and sometimes notes from the various calls we've had. And all of the ones that start 500 quotes, those are the ones where, like tonight, I'm reviewing the various subcategories. So we've talked about building Zion is central to the gospel. We've talked about their understanding of what Zion is. We've talked about the fact that the early apostles and prophets said that building Zion is God's will. And then tonight we reviewed the quotes that Zion has been prophesied and for our time. Next week, this one is... I still haven't gone through and subcategorized all these quotes, but there's... 49 more quotes next week about how we are not just, Zion wasn't just prophesied to be built, that we, Latter-day Saints, are specifically obligated to build Zion. In fact, there, so far in a subcategory, I had no idea this was the case until I found these quotes. People like Wilford Woodruff and John Taylor from 1873 to 1882 taught that the whole point of receiving the priesthood is to build Zion. I've never ever heard that. We don't talk about that in priesthood. I find that fascinating. So we'll talk about that next week and... some of these other quotes. And the following week, we'll review quotes about how, quotes that made it blatantly obvious that the early apostles and prophets were actively building Zion in Utah, in the territorial years of the state. There's over 100 quotes that make that very clear. Anyway, so I hope you've enjoyed this call. And encourage us all to search our hearts and grow closer to God and connect with Him so that we can be tools in His hands to accomplish His will in regards to Zion in the last days. Thanks for joining us. Have a nice evening.